Praise the Lord. I'd have had a spell if I hadn't had to preach, but I've got to preach. What a thrill. Somebody full of Jesus singing life. Not just words, not just a song, but life. And that's what it's all about. We're not head people, we're heart people. And that's what makes the difference. I praise the Lord for you. And Dr. Patterson, it's an honor to be here, even though you pick on me. The Bible says all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And if this is my last time, we're going to be here till 12:30. I'm going to have my blast, brother. And of course, Mrs. Dorothy Patterson is a special, special dear friend. God's really blessed her, considering what she's had to put up with all these years. My wife said a preacher's wife could almost go to heaven without being saved. And I don't know about that. Hold it just a minute here. I've lost some notes. Amen. I've got to have my notes. Hey, praise the Lord. Amen. I've always been very formal. And I've tried to be formal every time I come here because I don't want to embarrass Dr. Patterson, but I sure do love to have a good time in Jesus, don't you? Amen. I walked in a church the other day in the foyer, and a dear friend of mine, precious man, and I love him all of my heart, but when I walked in, he's always got something to say to me to try to humiliate me. So he got a beautiful head of white hair, just beautiful. He's about my age, and he said, "Brother Bill, do you know what a flea is on a bald-headed man?" I said, "What's that got to do with spirituality?" I said, "No, I don't." He said, "Homeless." I hate people with a lot of hair on their head. I detest them. I don't know where you're saved or not. I don't even know where you can get saved or not. I believe only bald-headed people are going to heaven, so you fellas better pray that you'll look. But anyway, praise the Lord. Thank you for the atmosphere. And Dr. Patterson, I want to tell you, my heart's overwhelmed today to the atmosphere and what I see has happened since I was here 8 years ago or nine. I can't remember the year. When you get my age, you can't remember your name. But anyway, I praise God. And I have never seen a time when I was more proud to be a Southern Baptist than I am now. Amen. And to be able to say amen. And to be able to say it to any student I meet across America that's looking for a seminary, I have no problem saying, you need to go to Southeastern. That's where you need to be, and you can do it without hesitation. We need men and women. We need preachers and professors that you can feel safe under and not have to worry about having to sift through garbage to know they believe the book and it overwhelms them and they teach the very precious word of God as though they believe it. And folks, I'm thankful to be here. Amen. Well, I got to get busy because I've got a long sermon for a short space of time, and I'm going to go by the rules because I do want to come back. And you know, if I can find is 2 Timothy in the New Testament. Yeah, there it is. All right. I guess I'm excited. You ever get excited? Just excited. I'm excited about that. And dear lady, that song is one of my favorites. And when you sing it with such excitement, I wish I could sing like that. I'd quit preaching. Amen. And I'd go to singing. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And of course, you've heard this over and over. But boy, God burned this in my heart. Not to come here just to impress anybody or even just to preach an outline or a sermon, but that my body may be His vehicle and that Jesus may pour through me His life. And that none of us will leave here the same as when we came because of being overwhelmed with Jesus and overwhelmed with the Word of God. And that's the only thing that'll sustain you in your ministry and walk with God. But a few things I want to say, and just let's get right into it. 2 Timothy 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the Word. And be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned to fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Articles that are now coming out in Christian publications are very, very problematic to me. They disturb me. They cause me to lay awake at night and wonder, where are we heading? What in the world is happening? The fight for inerrancy has been one of the greatest things that could have ever happened in the Southern Baptist Convention. But Baptists are the only people that'll fight for inerrancy and then kill you for preaching it. It's one thing to say I believe the Bible, but what I don't live, I don't really believe. And God did not call me just to preach sermons. He called me to preach Christ, who is the centrality of everything we've got to say. In Him resides everything God's ever said and will say to mankind. And here Paul, writing to Timothy, is encouraging him to make sure he keeps one thing straight, and that's the preaching of the Word of God. So about five things, and let me just give them to you. You see, one thing is focus on your accountability. Focus on your accountability. Look what he said. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me. You will never preach right. You will never live right. You'll never be the man of God that God wants you to be until you realize you're never out of His presence. Men and women only live right in His presence. Your awareness of His presence in you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and the divine call of God upon you to preach the Word should keep you overwhelmed that God would even call you to preach the Word. It's amazing to me that He ever fooled with me. I weighed 128 pounds when He called me to preach. I was so ugly when I was born, they slapped my mother instead of me, and that's embarrassing. I could stand under a clothesline in July and be in total shade. Turn sideways, stick out your tongue, look like a zipper, you know, I just about all of it. Laughed at, humiliated, inferiority complexes. And as a lad of 19, when I finally fell on my face before God and said, Lord, okay, here it is. It's all I got. It's frail, it's skinny, it's ugly. And not only that, I stuttered terribly. How in the world God could ever want such, I could never imagine. But oh, praise be unto God, after 48 years of ministry, I can tell you I still can't preach. I'm a poor homiletician. I've never, ever been able to do like these other guys and just get everything, just continuity, you know. I'm liable to shoot down 15 alleys, but I will hit a lot of stuff on the way. Amen? If you throw a rock down an alley and nothing's hollered, you hadn't hit anything. But if you throw a rock down an alley and something goes meow, you got it, brother. Just keep on plowing right where you are. God called me not to be a performer, not to be somebody that everybody would applaud, but to be so overwhelmed with Jesus, focusing on Him, and that I'm never out of His presence to make sure I never preach for the applause of people or preach to please a crowd, but preach to honor Him. You're really not my audience today. Jesus is. God is. And I'll have to give an account not for you, but for how I handled the Word of God today. And I pray the Spirit of God will sit down in such glory and power and confront us that we'll leave here in such brokenness, we'll never be the same again. Focus on the one that you're accountable to, the presence of God, daily reckoning to Him. Then secondly, be faithful to proclaim the Word. Timothy was fearful. It's not a time of recreation room religion. They're cutting heads off. They're killing saints by the droves. They're doing cruel things to them, blaming Christians for the problems in Rome. And Paul looks at Timothy and said, listen, old boy, I don't care how bad it looks or how scared you are, you preach the Word. Proclaim the truth. I just picked up some articles lately in some of our Baptist publications. We're always telling why we can't reach young people. We got a lot of youth directors now that knows more about music than they do teaching their kids the Word of God. They know more about programs than they do teaching kids the Word of God. You better get people in the Word of God. 15-minute sermonettes will make Christianettes. From a preacherette that dresses like majoress. But anyway, I won't get on all that. We need some men who have been so overwhelmed with the call of God and overwhelmed with the Word of God that when they stand to preach, it comes with life and fire and power, confronting people with the Word of God. G. Campbell Morgan said, preach to their will. Storm their will. Don't work on their emotions. Storm their will with the Word of God. We need some strong, powerful preachers. And in this generation of compromise, dead in alleys, running after fads, I pray out of this great institution will come the greatest evangelists and pastors who will stand in these last days and confront people with the Word of God. 15-minute sermon won't do it. You preach so somebody gets mad or glad. Get in, get out, or get run over. Amen. Well, Brother Bill, I don't think we ought to make people mad. A fellow told me the day he was going to a church and it got so positive that the preacher would say every service, we don't want anybody to leave feeling bad. How in the world can you be confronted with the Word of God, preach the truth, and walk away feeling good? I walk away in repentance and brokenness and confession. It's that brokenness that keeps me with God. Keeps me tender to preach and to preach with brokenness. We need some great preachers in these last days. This lady writing the other day, she's supposed to be a youth director in what I consider a liberal church. And she said, we got to get where the youth are. We have got, they have no real reason to have remorse. Life and death don't mean much to them. Right or wrong is not the issue. And they don't have much concern about the church or the Bible. They like music. They like to be entertained. I'm going to tell you something, fellas. I'm going to tell you something, ladies. God didn't call you to be an entertainer. He called you to be a faithful proclaimer of the Word of God and to preach the Word with love and compassion and brokenness. And then she went on to say, they have not much concern about absolutes, just relativity. Well, that's pure liberalism. That's pure ungodliness. We believe in absolutes. If you don't believe, Theodore Kyler said, if you don't believe in absolutes and the Bible is absolute truth, you've got no message to preach to any man. There's nothing to proclaim if this is not the absolute true Word of God. And if you don't believe that, you don't have a message for mankind. I pray God will keep your heart burning, set you aflame for Jesus, and your last days of your life will be your greatest days of proclaiming the truth of the Word of God. We must focus on our accountability and be faithful to proclaim the Word. Then we got to be fearlessly to expound it. We got to be fearlessly expounding it and exult in it, fearlessly proclaiming the Word of God. Revel in the Word. Get overwhelmed with the Word. Stay in the Word till the Word gets in you. Eat it. Consume it. Then serve it. Let God work it in you. You submit to the Word until that becomes life. And then when you stand to preach, let the life of Jesus pour out of you to confront people. And by the way, people don't know how lost they are until they are faced with life. You ever hear people say the Bible's boring? No, the Bible's alive. Hebrews 4 says that the Word of God is quick. Is that right? The Word's alive. Now, the Word's alive. You say, well, it's boring to me. Well, then you're dead. Amen. Is that true? Nothing wrong with the Bible. It's wrong with your receptivity. Wake up. Get saved. When you do, the Word comes alive. It's not from me. You say, well, Brother Bill, you know, it's just church is boring. Well, you better join the mooses or gooses or lions or get in something and get out of the church. Amen. It's not boring to me. Listen, I walked in this chapel service. I've just got back from South Africa, and I'm really the jet lag and all the other stuff. And I was really tired this morning when I woke up. But I want you to know, when I walked in here and they started singing those songs, and then she started singing that beautiful song, everything in me started responding. My very being came alive. Everything in me wanted to jump up and say, hallelujah for the Lord Jesus. Why? I was born for this atmosphere. I was birthed to respond to spiritual things. Amen? If you got a church member that says your preaching is boring, just tell them they don't have any appetite. I've never gone to my wife's table to eat at Thanksgiving and ever said, this is boring. I just said, how much can I consume? Amen. Don't you let people intimidate you. You stay on your face and get the word for God and then proclaim it. John Piper said in one of his books, and I like this, the word proclaim means like a town crier for the king years ago. And when there was some announcement to be made, the town crier went through the streets hollering, the king has a new son. He didn't walk through the streets saying, the king has a new son. Somebody said, speak up, we can't hear you. He went through the town hollering, the king's message, the king's message, the king's message. That's the word proclaim. Stand up in the power and boldness of the Spirit of God and preach and proclaim, this is a message from the king. And don't you ever be ashamed or let some little church member intimidate you and say, you're too loud, you're too soft, you're too tall, you're too skinny, you need to go to school a little more. Hey, I was going I won't get on that. I better pass that one by. Don't you ever alter your commitment to the Word of God. I say that because what I'm reading and what I'm seeing, we got two serious dangers. One is fanaticism, extreme fanaticism, slain in the spirit, wildfire charismatic movements. On the other side, we've got the dead orthodoxy that is so dead that it claims to be conservative, and yet, and yet they still think that you can be conservative and not love this book. They won't even carry it to church. They ask you not to bring it. The cross is left out. Any symbol of Christianity is kept on the outside. And they call it seeker-friendly. To me, it's neither seeker nor friendly. I wasn't looking for God. He came looking for me. Amen? And you listen to me. Any time that the music and drama overrides preaching, you got a dead church. And if you'll stay full of Jesus and preach the word, I got news for you. They'll come and watch you burn for Jesus. If you preach it like you mean it, quit playing games. Get to the truth. Preach it like you believe it. Proclaim it as though it's life and death. May God give us great preachers out of Southeastern Seminary. Fourthly, face the possibility of rejection. Face the possibility of rejection. He said, preach in season and out of season. And he said, reprove, rebuke, and exhort, for the time will come when they will not tolerate, is the word in Amplified, they will not tolerate your preaching. Now, who's he talking about? Those little people that want teachers who will teach them what they want to hear. And then, if they don't do it, they've got heaped up teachers. They've got teachers heaped up by the droves that they'll go to not only teach them what they want to hear, but also sustain the heresy that they believe. Let me tell you something. God didn't send you here today to see whether I could preach or not. God sent you here to see if God could say something to you today to so drive into your spirit and heart a fresh work of God, and your love for Jesus be enlarged, and you'd leave here full of God. Excuse me. God will do such a work in you that you'll be flaming evangelists for the Lord Jesus. John Wesley was kicked out of all the main churches because of preaching like this. Poor fella. They kicked him out of the church running about 200 in the big cathedral, so he went to the tombstone, stood on a tombstone and preached to 10,000. Quit worrying about what people might do to you. Just thank God you have the privilege of lifting up the Lord Jesus. Sitting on the plane coming back from South Africa last Thursday, got a conversation with a fellow, and he said, "I'm a member of a church in Rockford, Illinois." I said, "Is that right?" He said, we're very conservative. I said, "Is that, yeah." He said, "I was in another church, but they were too legal. They wanted me to be a deacon," and I said, "I can't, you're too legalistic." I said, "Well, what were they legal about?" He said, "Well, I like to drink beer, and I like to drink wine, and, you know, a little social drink and hot toddy." He said, "Hey, to me, that's just nothing wrong with it." Well, that didn't set too well with me. I said, "Well, what kind of church are you going to?" He said, "I'm going to a seeker-friendly church now where they don't have conviction. They're not legal." I'm going to tell you something. If I had a fellow that even looked like he wanted to be a deacon, that said he wanted to drink beer, I'd ship him to Russia. Amen? I'm still against social drinking. I'm still against the alcohol crowd. Amen? I still stand firmly against all of these things, because we can't charge the world and preach the word when the world becomes like the church and the church becomes like the world. The church has never been any more powerful than when the world couldn't explain us nor copy us, because the only explanation was the power of God. Hallelujah. I'm encouraging you. Say you're a rally man. You better believe it. There's enough power in preaching here, and men of God and women of God. We could take America for God in a power of Holy Ghost revival preaching. I believe that. Amen? Any other preaching you do will go up in smoke and be nothing but ashes if it doesn't confront us with the truth. You make sure you face the possibility somebody's not going to like you. I don't know how they could dislike me as sweet as I am, but some of them do. I told my wife the other day, I said, "Honey, not many preachers left really preaching." She said, "Yeah, probably one less than you know." I said, "Jump in the river." You know, we have good conversations in our home. You see, people have flocked to hear preachers who won't tell them about sin, who will not preach repentance, who will not preach the truth to where, when they walk out, they're so confronted with the truth, the Spirit of God tracks them home. And suddenly, in those moments before God and alone, they fall on their face and confess their sins. It's that kind of tenderness and brokenness that's going to bring the church Holy Ghost revival. We can't do it playing games with church members who want to be pampered and petted. We need strong preaching of the Word of God. Amen? Amen? Not only that. You say amen a lot. Well, I believe what I'm saying. I hope you do. In fact, I'm in so many Baptist churches. You know, in a lot of our churches, singers use music, and it really helps them sound better. But preachers have to preach a cappella. We don't get any help. I'm going to get me some cheerleaders and put some glories and hallelujahs and amens and praise God and woos on tapes. And man, when I get to preaching and know I'm a preacher, I'm going to push that button, brother. Amen. I want some help. Focus on your accountability. Faithful to proclaim the word. Fearlessly expound it. Be afraid of nobody but God. By the way, your fear of God will determine the love of God. If you don't fear God properly, you won't confess sin. You won't confess gossip and greed and unkindness and jealousy. You'll keep that as part of your personality. You're going to have to confess everything along your journey that's not the Word of God. And your flesh is as powerful in you as mine. And you better deal with it every time the temper flares up, the gossip, or the criticism, or the unforgiving spirit. Whatever's flesh needs to be called flesh. Well, God will not accept it, nor will He condone it. And you'll never walk with God until you agree with Him in brokenness and tenderness and confession of everything in your life that's not Christ-like. That's exactly. You say, "Well, brother, you must be perfect." No, I'm always on my face astonished that God would use a man who would still have to battle fleshly things. But I got news for you. I've got victory over it in Jesus. Amen? Now then, Then face the possibility of rejection. Your ministry. Be watchful. I like the way he says it here. Be watchful. Be watching all things. Be alert. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Be watchful, endure hardships, and love evangelism. Don't you ever be happy if people are not coming to Jesus. E.M. Bounds said, salty preaching shoots to a target. True preaching lays the heart and conscience bare and reveals sin. Church filled with self-satisfied people who do not want to hear the Word of God. Then this last thing. He said, one thing I have against the clergy is that they are not severe enough on their congregation about repentance. And Dr. Patterson, I'm not a mean preacher. I'm not a kind of preacher that wants to say I want to hurt anybody. But I can honestly say the thing that's kept me straight is preachers like you and Dr. Rogers and Dr. Vines and those men I've heard faithful to the Word that literally laid me bare with the Word of God. And even as an evangelist, have to get on my face and say, God, forgive my temper, my jealousy, my envy, my greed. And as I stand before you today at the close of this chapel service, you will walk with God no more deeply and lively than your willingness to keep everything confessed in your life that would block the flow of the Holy Spirit and cease you from being the vessel that can pour out Christ to a lost world. I was preaching in First Baptist Church Orlando in one of David Ring's conferences on a Thursday evening, I believe it was. Dr. Rogers was going to preach after me, and I preached on revival. I went, took my seat after I preached, and Dr. Rogers started preaching. I have never had the Word of God to come clear and expose some inside stuff that I did not even realize until I heard the Word preached by the man of God. And ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't wait for Dr. Rogers to give the invitation. And this hadn't been many, many years ago. And since that time, when I learned a little secret, stay before God, keep everything confessed that the Word of God exposes. Don't make any excuses. Keep a clean vessel for God. You'll stand amazed at what He'll do in you and through you. Because that very night, God started a fresh work in me of just saying, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I don't know why you put up with me. Why don't you jump me? But instead, in my confession and repentance, He takes the tender hands of Calvary and pulls the broken pieces back together, puts me back on the wheel and says, I'm not through with you yet. Please, let's pray for preachers that'll preach the Word. And we'll see revival that will begin in Raleigh, North Carolina, and shake this nation to its boots, that we might see a revival in this day of depravity. Please, preachers, please, ladies, stay true. Stay with God. Don't ever give up in the Word. We're winners. We're winners. We've already got it made in Christ Jesus. Stay by the stuff and walk with God. And I'm going to pray that the revival that breaks out across this campus would touch the whole Southern Baptist Convention and America for God. Father, in the name of Jesus, would you speak in power and authority, and would you help every student, every professor, and myself included, to hear from God today and to walk out of this place tender, sensitive to the Holy Spirit, broken before God, And may out of these broken vessels, you pour through us your life, that this world will know that we've been with Jesus, and touch these ministries, and touch this community. Set it aflame with Holy Ghost presence and power. And may we stand amazed at what you do through this student body. In Jesus' name, amen.